Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi, we're here with Deanna of Squishy Peanut Marketing again, and we're talking about common social media crises that business owners run into and how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And one of the most common ones that I've run into lately are how to deal with unethical social media managers or people within your company who create fake profiles and do fake reviews online.
So unethical social media practices.
Unethical social media practices. Yeah. Whether they're done purposely by people trying to get an edge or out of ignorance. What we should do about it. For instance.
And what you can't do.
And what you can't do about it. There are a lot of can'ts, guys. The FTC regulates truth in advertising, which means there are rules for what you and people associated with your company and your friends and family can and can't say about your company online. If you want to learn more, you can go to FTC.gov, or we have some information on our website about this. But for instance, an example we saw recently was a local startup had hired someone to help with their SEO and their social media campaigns. They wanted to be more viral. And this contractor, known or unknown to the company, went out and set up a bunch of fake profiles. And they started tweeting about the company without disclosing the fact that they'd been hired by the company. They used fake profiles to ask questions on sites like Ask.com, and then another fake profile to answer the question, pretending to be a regular customer promoting this startup without saying, hey, I work for this company. They'd say, oh, I'm glad I stumbled across it. Or I've used it tons of times when they hadn't. They were hired to do marketing. They weren't regular customers, but they were using their personal accounts and fake accounts to promote it online. And that is a huge problem. It's not just unethical, it's also illegal in a lot of cases. Now, I don't think that the startup knew what was happening. I think that it's a case where they just hired a contractor and the contractor did something. But that is actually the problem, is that I don't think the company knew it was happening. And this happens a lot. Deanna's talked before about how people trust their marketing and social media folks, sometimes way too much. What should you do if you discover that your social media manager or someone in your company is doing something unethical?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is to just know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And then from there, I mean, I think more than anything is just to confront them about it and talk to them about it. Ask them why they're doing it. Ask them where they're getting that information with. Test them to see if those reviews or those comments are actually real or not. See why they haven't not been disclosed as far as that relationship, if they haven't been. And just, you know, get to the bottom of it and then take action from there. You know, whether it's changing the behavior so it doesn't happen again, or, you know, unfortunately letting that person go if they don't feel like it. If that person doesn't feel like it was unethical, then, you know, that's another problem that you have to deal with. But if they realize, oh, shoot, I didn't know I couldn't do that. I had just seen it done before. I figured it was perfectly fine. You know, just let them know it's not okay. We can't do this. You know, we've got to do this the hard and dirty way, not the, you know.
The legal way.
The legal way.
Right, the legal way. And, I mean, this happens a lot. And I think a lot of it comes from, at least for a lot of small businesses I see, it's just ignorance and people really wanting to help. You have moms commenting and rating their kids' businesses. You have best friends. You have employees who are trying to bump up the ratings for a new store. And they keep giving it great reviews. And all of those are breaking the FTC's rules for reviews. Because the whole point is that companies get to advertise. Reviews are the check and balance for that. Because consumers have a right to get unbiased information. They have a right to get information from other customers and decide how much weight they want to put on that. If your mom, your best friend, you, or one of your employees is reviewing your company, then, and they don't tell readers that's what they're doing, the reader can't decide how much weight to put on that. And that's deceptive, and it's misleading, and it manipulates the customers. Because there are going to be other businesses out there who have just as many reviews as you do, but that are legit reviews they earn from real customers. And if consumers can't tell the difference, they can't make the best decision. And they have a right to do that.
And I don't think it's a bad thing if you want your mom or your best friend or your sister to review a product. That's fine. But they just should put in there somewhere that, you know, I'm related to this person in some way, shape, or form, or I have a relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. However, I have tried their product, and I do actually really like it. You can do both. You can have a relationship, and you can like a product. You just have to tell them. And I think in some ways, it builds credibility even more, because that means you've got family and friends who support you, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, and it also means that you have family, friends, employees who are honest, and people don't have to worry about that. Everyone's always worried that if someone says, oh, I got this for free, or I received this from the owner for free, or hey, the owner's my best friend, and that people won't listen to their reviews. But all the time you get reviews from people who say, hey, I grew up with so-and-so, and here's why I love their product. And that builds confidence. You're getting information from someone who personally knows you. That can actually help your customer trust you more.
Well, and Meredith and I have talked before about, I used to do work in the affiliate management world, and that's a big deal with affiliates, is that they disclose that they are paid for the links that they put in. If you click through on their website, they make money off of it. For advertisers, it's a great relationship to have because it's other people who are promoting your product. And for consumers, it can be great because it gives you more websites to find products on, because there's just, you may have searched a different content word, so you got to a website that had that product you were looking for. But they do have to legally disclose somewhere on there that they are an affiliate. And you probably don't even realize half of the time that they are. You may only find that disclaimer on a page of their website, but it's got to be there somewhere, that it's noticeable. Other times, you know, there are other people. I subscribe to some newscasts, or some newsletters, rather, and they will literally put a link to something, and in parentheses, this is an affiliate link. I make money when you click it. You know, they'll be that upfront. But as a consumer, I don't care. It's not going to cost me any more to click that link. Mm-hmm. It's just going to support that person, and it's going to support the business. And that's a relationship between that person and the business that they have mutually agreed upon. So who cares? Let them disclose that they have that relationship.
Trust your customers. Because a lot of times when folks resort to these tactics, like I recently saw a local bakery where the owner, before it had even opened, had liked the business, rated it really, really high using a different account, and had gotten his friends from another state to do the same thing. It comes out of insecurity because they're so worried that it'll launch and they'll get a negative review that they try to heavy load it at front. And what they're really saying is, I'm concerned that I can't handle negative reviews. Guys, you can handle it. You need honesty to function. Mm-hmm. So trust your customers, accept their feedback, and work with it. Because heaven forbid there's a problem with your product and your customers don't tell you because all they see are positive reviews.
And the most important thing, I think, with all of this is to prepare ahead of time. One is to have a statement of your own ethical standing, of what your standards are.
Yes.
If people know that up front, and then you impress that upon your contractors, if you're outsourcing, that's important. And you make sure that they understand that, hey, this is what you want them to live up to. Because if anything does happen then, you have basically a moat around your castle that gives you some protection. It doesn't always work, but it helps. A good example of this is with Enron and Arthur Anderson. Arthur Anderson went down with Enron because they didn't have ethical standing to be able to tell Enron, hey, no, what you're doing is not quite right. And so that's why they went down.
They let it happen. And I actually see this a lot where startup businesses, small businesses, they hire whoever's buddy is doing marketing or someone they randomly meet who's willing to work for cheaper because they're starting out, which is fine. There are a lot of great businesses doing that. But they never ask questions. If you're hiring someone to give a message for you or help you with SEO or any of these other fields, make sure you ask them, hey, talk to me about current laws. Talk to me about ethics. Talk to me about what's legal and not. It's a way of testing them and finding out if they even know about this. If they don't have an answer when you ask your marketer, hey, talk to me about what's legal and not with reviews. If they can't answer that, run. Run the other direction.
The other thing I'd like to bring up, which we hadn't talked about discussing, but I'm going to anyway, is email lists. And purchasing email lists, it's something you can do. It's unethical in a way because you're spamming at that point in time if you're buying lists. But it's something you really shouldn't do as far as a best practice thing. Does that mean building up your email lead list is going to take you 100 times longer?
Yes.
It definitely is. But the thing you have to realize is those leads that you're getting on that list are going to be qualified leads. You're not going to have leads coming in from everywhere. And there are a ton of different ways that you can build an email list. I mean, one of the hottest ways that I'm seeing right now, honestly, is probably building your email list by using Facebook ads, to be quite honest. You know, you advertise your brand, and then it takes you to a landing page to add you to your email list to get you into the whatever that page that is, or to download an ebook or whatever, but then you're added to that list at that point in time because you're interested in it. But you're opting in. You're optionally opting into that service. But you can purchase email lists, and I feel like it's just as unethical as doing the reviews, mm-hmm. because then you're just, you know, becoming a spammer, and I think you don't have that appropriate relationship with those people that you should have.
Mm-hmm. It's all about building trust, and yes. you can't build trust with someone if you're tricking them up front.
Yes.
Or if you're trying to pull a bait and switch with buying an email list or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's all about building trust. I want to thank you, Deanna, for coming and ranting and talking with us today.
You're very welcome. It was super fun.
And I want to encourage everyone to check out Deanna's website at squishypeanut.com and follow her on Facebook for Squishy Peanut Marketing. You get lots of great tips and current information that's valid and credible about social media. And she's also great about answering questions and interacting with folks. So bring her your dumb questions.
You are welcome to. Yes. And it all comes from my point of view. So it's very intimate and just, you know, I kind of try to make it fun.
Yep.
Fun for everyone.
If you message Deanna, you're going to get Deanna.
Yep. True story.
And
because nobody else admins my page.
So thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 Solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, TheQualityGirl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2014 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But no, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.